Arnhem Milchan presents a Ridley Scott film. Legend. Tom Cruise, Mia Sara, Tim Curry, David Bennett, Alice Playton, Billy Barty as Screwball, Cork Hubbard as Brown Tom. In a forest lit by silvery moonlight, a bear ambles along and a hare scurries about. In a clearing, the roots of a great tree sink deep into the earth, while moths flit about, momentarily illuminated by the lunar glow. Feet tread through the undergrowth. A deer snorts, sending little puffs of condensation from its nostrils, while a bear worries a bee's nest. Birds flutter through the half-light, and mice balance precariously on a narrow branch. The figure walking through the darkness comes to a halt. They have cruelly sharp ears protruding from the head. The creature, a goblin, has a long hooked nose and piercing eyes. He pauses at the edge of a lake before a gargantuan tree that's black as ebony. He gazes on it as dark clouds gather around its towering and leafless branches. Inside,
I am the Lord of Darkness. I require the solace of the shadows and the dark of the night. Sunshine is my destroyer. All this shall change. Tonight, the sun sets forever. There shall never be another dawn. Enter!
Smoke drifts across the floor of the chamber. The goblin.
Blix, come closer. Are you not the most loathsome of my goblins?
Truly, master.
And is your heart black and full of hate?
Black as midnight, black as pitch, blacker than the foulest witch.
Something troubles me. I feel a presence in the forest. A force I had mercifully almost forgotten.
Must be dread indeed to trouble you, lordship.
Looking upon these frail creatures, one would not think that they could contain such power. One could rule the universe with it. You must find them for me and destroy them.
What do they look like, Lord?
Fool! Let this serve to remind you. They are each crowned with a single horn reaching straight to heaven.
I get the point, Lord.
Bring the horns to me.
Where should I look, sire?
There is only one lure for such disgusting goodness. One bait that never fails.
What be this bait? Please, you teach me.
Innocence. Innocence.
Sunlight breaks through the trees of a forest, and seeds drift on the breeze in its glow. A young woman in a white flowing gown and with chestnut-coloured curls that fall below her shoulders is making her way through the poppies and grasses of the woodland, singing to herself. In her hand is a small posy of flowers wrapped in paper, and as she walks along, she's unaware she's being watched by Blix and two other goblin-like creatures. She stops and smiles, gazing across a clearing at a woman who's hanging up washing outside a cottage. Lix and his companions look on with interest. One has a pig-like snout, while the other's wearing an armored helmet. The young woman, Lily, arrives at one end of the washing line and unhooks it before hiding out of sight.
Blooming fairies!
Watching as the billowing sheets drop to the ground, Lily then hurries inside the cottage to find a man snoozing in a chair by the window. She steps quietly in, disturbing some little birds who fly up from the kitchen table. It's heavy with freshly baked breads and tarts, as well as fruit and vegetables. Lily helps herself to a morsel of something, then breaks off some biscuit and takes a bite. Close to the kitchen table is a little crib, and she gazes lovingly into it. Her attention is drawn to a clock above the mantel. As it strikes 10 o'clock, two wooden figures emerge from it, a woman followed by a wicked-looking skeleton. They disappear back inside.
Lily!
A royal visit's always a pleasure. Have another biscuit.
Lily smiles.
Nell, I have no time to stay for a visit today.
Oh, you've got a sweetheart waiting.
Nell, neither country proverb nor king's command can keep me from the woods today.
Then it's common sense, Art. Lily, Princess Lily, I look on you as a daughter. If you'll pardon my saying it, it's time you started behaving like the princess you are. You should be out looking for a handsome prince on a white charger, not visiting poor folk like us.
Don't you know I love coming here? This place holds more magic for me than any palace in the world. You live a very rich life now.
You're very sweet, Lily. Magic is a wonderful thing. You'll find your own magic one day. I'm sure you will.
I have no time for this. I'm going.
Lily kisses Nell, then skips out.
Oh, and you look out for Spriggan and Banshee, my girl. These woods be thick with them. Stay clear of toadstool rings and willow trees and old oaks.
Blossom floats in the air.
Dad!
Lily shakes her head a little as she continues on, unaware that Blix and the others are close by.
Dad!
She's in a colourful glade and hears something whiz past. Narrowing her eyes, she walks on more slowly, and the figure rushes through the trees on a slope above her.
Jack? Jack, answer me!
Her skin sparkles as she studies the forest. Blix and his gang break a twig and a flock of birds fly up. Someone jumps down in front of her.
Jack! You scared the life out of me!
The young man, dressed in a short, ragged tunic, watches as a yellow-beaked bird lands on his shoulder.
You're so clever.
Maybe innocent, maybe sweet. Ain't half as nice as rotting meat.
In a glade of pale blue flowers, Lily lifts a little finch on her hand and whistles gently to it, while Jack cradles a fox.
Good. Very good. Just right.
Jack, now teach me rabbit like you promised.
Rabbit? It's much harder than finch.
Let me try. I'm a good student. And my father says I'm brilliant. see how brilliant I am? Let me dazzle you with my wisdom.
It's much more than wisdom that dazzles me, Lily.
A golden heart.
Jack, teach me rabbit.
Not today.
Why not?
Because... something really special that I've been promising to show you. Always go now? Because I'll be here for a short while.
She shrinks back from a blindfold.
Don't you trust me?
I trust you, Lily.
He gently ties the white scarf around her head, covering her eyes. A mist drifts through the trees of the forest. Jack leads Lily beneath the canopy of a large tree, where the bright sunlight they've left behind intermittently illuminates them. Letting go of a hand, he moves forward to look ahead, leaving her standing, still blindfolded. He tilts his head, and after a few moments, he goes back to get her. He takes her hand and leads her to the spot he was just in, sheltered by a hanging branch and a cluster of large white blooms in front of them. Once they're both crouching down, he removes her blindfold. She gazes out with a smile of excitement. Before them is a babbling stream, bordered on each side by rocky banks of grey stone and sloping beds of vibrant blue flowers. A white creature races into view in the distance, and Jack rises up a little. He smiles and lifts a hand towards the stream. Two white, horse-like creatures trot towards them, each with a spiralling horn at their foreheads. Unicorns. Their silken manes billow as they move, but Blix and his companions hide beneath a tree nearby.
Look! Ugly one-horned mule!
The unicorns canter along together, then pause in the shallow waters, nuzzling each other and rising up on their back legs.
Nothing is more magical. As long as they roam the earth, evil can never harm the pure of heart.
Lily seems moved by the unicorns as they send the stream water splashing about beneath their hooves. Blix smiles to himself.
Do they speak the language?
They express only love and laughter. Dark thoughts are unknown to them.
Lily gets up.
No!
Keeping low, she steps close to the stream, leaning against the bank as she watches the ivory unicorns graze further ahead. The air is filled with dust-like blossoms.
Lily, no! Please!
Lily steps into the shallow water and begins to walk towards the unicorns. Jack seems torn, while in the camouflage of a neighbouring tree, Blix opens a smoking pouch with one of his long talons. He grins while a frown breaks across Lily's brow. Blix dips a sharp needle into the pouch. One of the unicorns, the stallion, is standing alone in a wide section of the stream, and Lily begins to sing to it. The unicorn turns its head, its twisted horn sparkling in the sunlight. Lily reaches out. Blix lifts the needle from the pouch, and the stallion starts to walk towards Lily. Jack gets to his feet, and Blix slips the needle into a long pipe.
You spook the beast and spoil the trap.
Lily reaches her hand further towards the majestic unicorn. It's close to her now.
be just as sweet as pie.
Lily is crouching in the water as she reaches up her hand to touch the unicorn's nose. Jack turns and walks away. Lix takes a deep breath and blows into the pipe. His dart hits the stallion, making it swiftly gallop away. The mare speeds off with it, and they disappear into the forest. Lix and this gang are on their own tiny steeds and give chase.
Jack? Jack? It was lovely. Like a dream.
What you did is forbidden.
Who says so?
It is known, Lily. These are sacred animals. You risk your immortal soul.
He's behind her.
I only wanted to touch one. Where's the humming bat? It was magic. Thank you. Let me sing to you. I'll chase your fears away.
Jack looks unsure as the storm swirls above them. The unicorns gallop along a woodland path where the ground is stained blue and come to a halt in another stream. Moments later, Blix and his friends are travelling along the same track. The unicorns rise up on their back legs and nudge their muzzles together. As one of them gallops off, dark clouds fill the sky. Lily has pressed her lips against Jack's.
Are you afraid to kiss me, Jack?
I'm afraid you'll break my heart.
Then steal your heart. You're dear to me as life itself. Don't you wish this was our wedding ring?
If I say yes, will my wish come true?
I'm a princess. My right to set a challenge for my suitors. I will marry whoever finds this ring.
She tosses the gold ring over a ledge.
Jack!
Jack runs to the ledge and dives down towards the deep pool far below. He hits the water and swims deeper, while Lily goes to the ledge to look down at the pool. Jack swims past reeds into the darker depths. As Lily screams, the ring sinks lower and Jack swims on, a trail of bubbles drifting up from his mouth to the surface. Lightning flashes in the forest above, and Jack pushes off from a rock to get closer to the ring. Rain pours down on Lily as she calls out through the storm, and Jack peers into a narrow cavern, then swims beneath huge branches covered in algae. The darted unicorn stallion gallops into a clearing where pink blossom is swirling through the air. Blix is in the shadows, Jack swims on, and Lily calls out as rain pours down on her. The surface of the pool is turning white, and far below it, Jack pushes reeds apart. The stallion falls in a haze of pink petals, and Jack starts to swim for the surface of the lagoon. Lix and his two friends are walking through the maelstrom of blossom towards the fallen creature, and Jack hits his head on the frozen surface of the pool. Lix rests the blade of a long sword against the white stallion's spiraling alicorn as Jack punches the sheet of ice. With his mouth open, Lix lifts the sword and brings it swiftly down as Jack breaks through the thick frozen surface of the pool and gasps for breath. Lix lifts the severed alicorn triumphantly in the air. Rain has turned to snow, and the forest is now a frozen kingdom. Lily races through the storm, the woodland floor now a thick carpet of white flakes. A huge branch falls from a tree, blocking her path, and she races up a slope, lifting her arms to shelter her eyes from the icy winds as she hurries through the forest. Icicles hang from the windows of Nell's cottage, and inside, the baby's cot rocks back and forth in the gale that whips through the kitchen. Lily runs inside and slams the front door shut behind her, but when she turns, she finds that snow is falling inside the little cottage as well as outside of it. Nell is standing at the table in the kitchen but is motionless. Lily steps closer to find she's frozen solid. Hearing laughter, Lily goes to the window. Blix and his friends are outside and she hurries upstairs to the attic. The door opens and Blix walks in, holding the alicorn aloft. His companions, Pox and Blunder, follow him, and Lily watches from the attic, ducking out of sight when they turn. Blix spots the frozen clock.
Ah, mortal world turned to ice. Here be goblin paradise. Plenty hospitality here.
Baby. I simply adore milk-fed meat.
What are you, some kind of animal?
Blix points the alicorn at the clock and it starts up. Then he uses it like a wand to create a fire in the hearth.
How did you do that, Blix?
Yeah, tell us how you do those tricks.
Quite easy, actually.
He waves it again.
Goblin omelette.
Very nice, very nice.
Lucky day! Kill ugly one horn dead!
You act like you do all. It was me who shoot the poison stinger.
He got the shot in because the princess was there. Wrong! 'Twas beauty led the beast to bay.
She was so sweet. I could eat her brains like jam.
I could shuck her bones.
Better hurry. Dark Lord, he don't like to wait.
Blix points the horn at the hearth once more, making the fire burst hotter, then uses it to send a chair flying. Lily watches them leave from an attic window with tears rolling down her cheeks.
What have I done?
4, 5, 6! Hooray for Blix!
I'll make it right.
In the forest, a campfire is burning and Jack is fast asleep, half buried in the snow. A tiny light bounces between some snow-covered toadstools towards him. It dances across his face, then makes the fire burn brighter.
Lily? Lily?
A figure appears.
Jack!
Something moves behind a ridge.
Who's there? Who are you?
You be a forest child, and not know the Gump.
Gump, is it?
Honeythorn Gump, at your service.
It's a boy with pointed ears carrying a violin, wearing only ragged shorts and curled toe slippers. The little light dances through the air.
I must be dreaming.
If life is a dream, better you dread the waking.
Stop it!
That's Una. She likes you.
Go away!
Does your blood run so cold, Jack? You'll be a corpse before your time.
How'd you know my name?
How does a migrating swallow know the way south in winter? Or a spawning salmon find the very source of his birth from the cold, black depth of the mysterious sea. I know everything, Jack.
Everything?
Jack looks into the night.
Why is it like this? Why is it winter now?
Suppose you tell me, Jack.
Me?
Did you not see something odd today? Any strange spirits? Did nothing untoward happen?
No.
No? No.
I did take Lily to see the unicorn.
You did what?
Dwarves are hiding nearby.
Oh God, Gump, she touched him.
Touched it! A mortal laid hands on a unicorn! Jack!
Do you think you can upset the order of the universe and not pay the price?
You meant no wrong! What I did is done. But I did it for love.
Silence!
Love, you say? But love is another story. Answer me this riddle.
I know, Gump.
And all will be forgiven.
Then ask away. And pray God my answer pleases you.
Gump walks over to the fire, which has grown huge, and he lifts his violin and bow while bubbles drift through the air. He turns, pointing the bow at Jack, his eyes wide.
What is a bell that does not ring? Yet its knell makes the angels sing.
I know the answer!
Shh. Answer me this. And all will be forgiven.
Jack turns to look at the group of dwarves behind him who are whispering excitedly to one another. Gump is smiling at him as Jack stares back.
Flowers? Bluebells! Do you hear them ringing? Means your life is at an end!
Gump smashes his violin and thumps the snowy ground. He rests his head on the snow, shaking it violently, then lies back as he writhes about. Suddenly, he lies still.
Gump?
Keeping low, Jack moves closer to Gump. Gump sits up.
You've bested me, Jack. Bested me.
Well, a riddle without an answer is like an empty cup when you're thirsty for wine.
Well spoken. And if it's wine you want, it's wine we shall have. Brown Tom! A small measure of entertainment at best.
What, Gump? It's the last bottle of me best wine. Oh, and if you say so, sir. Now, Gump, don't you be forgetting me. Oh, careful now.
Gump pours them each an acorn cup of wine.
Here's to Jack.
Oh,
riddle solver, dancing fool, and fairy friend.
Get quick!
They knock back the wine, and one of the dwarves puts a fur coat around Jack's shoulders.
This will help.
Don't you care what's happened?
Of course we care. What good's a world locked in a season of death?
But we must find the answer.
That we must. But first we must see that no harm's come to the unicorn.
I sadly fear the worst.
Through the night, Jack, Gump and the others are trekking through the wintry darkness of the forest in single file, while heavy snow and strong winds whirl around them. Jack is wearing the fur coat, the hood up over his head. Towering over the others, he's at the rear of their party and is carrying a bright lamp. Lily is running through the forest, her white gown flowing around her as she runs through the snow. As Jack, Gump and the others reach the dark trunk of an ancient tree, Jack hears something and they come to a stop. He holds up the lamp and glances about, the hood of the coat now fallen.
Lily!
Jack! What?
He blinks his eyes against the ferocious storm, then spins round as he searches the darkness. The others have trekked on and he follows them. The snow up to his calves as more billows along the woodland path. Next, they stop behind a ridge of snow and look on into a clearing beyond. There's a golden glow in the distance, but before them, lying still beneath a tree, is the unicorn stallion. Its nose is buried in the thick carpet of snow and Jack bows his head. He looks up and clambers over the ridge, leaving the lamp behind with Gump and the others. The snow glistens in the moonlight and white flakes fall in thick swirls. Jack steps closer to the unmoving unicorn. A layer of sparkling snow has settled on the creature as Jack steps closer. The mare appears and walks around the stallion, knee-deep in snow. Tears glisten on Jack's cheeks as he watches the mare nudge the stallion with its nose. Gump and the dwarves, illuminated by the warm light of the lamp, are watching from behind the ridge. Jack walks closer as the mare shakes its head and circles its lifeless partner. The mare gallops swiftly towards Jack and rears up on its hind legs. Jack seems lost for words and lowers his gaze. The unicorn paces about in the snow, and Jack lifts his arms out at his sides before slowly dropping to his knees. As he gazes up at the majestic beast, tears tumble from his eyes and snowflakes settle in his hair. The mare steps closer to him.
Forgive me. I meant no wrong.
The unicorn steps back a little, then its nostrils tremble as it whinnies. Jack gets to his feet and starts to walk back towards Gump and the others. The mare turns its head and looks off into the distance as it calls out. It stands beside its fallen companion, its legs deep in the snow as the storm continues. Jack arrives back with the others.
Well, Jack! Tell us what has happened.
Jack takes a seat, looking a little stunned.
Come on, Jack. Don't keep us in the dark.
The dark is where we'll stay. We're cursed.
Is there not we can do?
We must get the Alicorn back. Only then will the world return to normal. We must find a champion, bold of heart and pure in spirit.
Champion? What champion?
Shh. Don't give up so quick, lads. You'll do. We must get you some weapons.
Me, but Gump, I know nothing of weapons.
You'll learn. I know where to find the best. Round Tom, stay here with the unicorn and guard her well.
Like me all life.
Better. She's the last of her kind.
Round Tom lets out a sigh and stands up on a snowy ridge.
mine, mine, mine. Now all creatures will love the night and worship goblins as divine.
You shouldn't talk like that, Blix.
Why not? I've got the power now.
Plenty big pop.
Blix saps his backside, setting it on fire, and Blunder sits in a bucket of water.
Not even darkness lasts forever.
Gump pushes open a door to a cave.
Jack, I can't go with you now. Anyway, Una will guide the way.
She flies on ahead.
Follow me, Jack. Over here, come on.
He clambers into the cave where tree roots and moss decorate the walls. Before him is a glistening golden treasure trove, and at the center of the coins and jewels is a shining suit of armor. He moves closer. Resting up against the suit is a golden sword. Una flutters about above it. Nearby is an open book on a stand, some dried flowers acting as a bookmark in its glittering pages. Suddenly, a girl appears in a flash of light.
I'm Una.
Una.
Nobody knows but you. It's our secret, Jack. Don't tell Gum. Promise? Promise? I could be anything you want me to be. Even your heart. You've got to help us, Jack. A fairy's love makes anything possible.
Jack reaches out for the sword, his skin sparkling as his hand closes around the hilt.
Higher, higher, burning fire, making music like a choir.
It seems a pity to waste such power.
Waste? Better watch out, old pal Pox, or I'll turn you into little pork chops.
Why not turn everything into garbage? A great towering mountain of slop. Wouldn't that be magic?
Higher, higher, burning fire, making music.
A giant dark figure rises up out of the ground behind Blix. Blunder grabs the alicorn.
Stop! Hear me, you angel of darkness! Your reign is over! A new order begins! I hold the power!
Something grabs Blunder.
Shit! Please! It was only a joke! I didn't mean it!
It's a mummy.
Have you no sense of humor? Adios, amigo!
Lily is watching.
Wow. Forgive that intrusion, great lord, but goblins are inclined to be outspoken and I like to encourage their initiative.
The unicorns are dead. Is this not true?
True, lord. Very plenty true.
Undeniably true.
You lie. Here is dog.
And it's essentially true. On the other hand,
Galleon is dead. Dead as dreams.
Acquired.
The mayor lives still.
Even one unicorn walks the earth. My power is not complete.
She's just a female, lord. She has no power.
Only the power of creation. Get the mayor. I command you.
Well, let's see, what have we here? Ah, a little sassafras. A little spearmint would be nice, huh? Foxglove. And a little coltsfoot. Hey! Oh, God, there, what?
I'm Princess Lily.
You! You're the cause of all our sorrow.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I
Please forgive me.
I'm not the one you should be asking.
Try to understand. I'm only trying to make things right. Darkness has sent the goblins back for the mayor. It's not safe to stay here. You'll have to hurry. Leave now. Go.
Good ass.
Hurry.
You're a plucky little partridge.
Hurry.
Too late. If you imps are looking for a fight, you come to the chapel to oblige you.
Tom has a little frying pan and he uses it to deflect Blix and Pox's arrows. He flies through the air to hit one of them and bends over for another between his legs. Lily is between Tom and the mare and she ducks.
They done for me.
An arrow has hit Brown Tom in his hat and he topples backwards. As the mare canters away, Blix and Potts lift a net as they walk closer to Lily. They find him in the snow.
Brown Tom, but you can't be dead. This is terrible. Terrible. Brown Tom.
Brown Tom.
Goblin. Screwball. Jack, lad. They killed you too. Of
course they didn't. But what in blazes are you talking about?
Goblins.
Goblins.
Shot me through me brain pan. Oh.
That's one spotted arrow will do no harm.
I did my best to fight them off, but they swarmed up by the hundreds. All fierce creatures they were. The princess warned me, but...
Lily?
Aye.
She's alive.
She was alive still when they killed me.
The goblins must have taken her.
We follow their tracks in the snow.
Jack is holding a flaming torch aloft as they run through the forest.
A great tree. When evil anarchy ruled the land, the wicked came here to sacrifice.
Gump runs on and Brown Tom follows. Jack hangs back and after a few moments tosses the flaming torch behind him. Now the gruesome lake is lit by an eerie moonlight. A layer of mist settles across it and strange skeletons protrude from its murky waters. Something swims beneath the surface, creating a ripple, while on the other side of the lake is the great tree.
Ugly. I hate it.
Good. You go first.
Why always me? Go!
Screwball steps out onto a gnarled branch that reaches out across the water. At the center of the lake is a winged statue, silhouetted by the bright moonlight. Something moves beneath the water close to the branch and Screwball stops. He turns and holds up a hand to Gump before scurrying on, clambering down from the branch to a lower one. He skips across the lake on stepping stone-like objects, then turns and waves.
I made it! Screwball!
Something pulls him beneath the water and Jack races over to the spot where he disappeared. Screwball is splashing about, then suddenly an enormous figure bursts from the water.
Power tasty, fairy!
A giant green hag.
Come to bed, juicy boy.
Her fingernails are like talons.
Who needs this tender morsel? Disturbing
me to
ruckle
bone
dress.
Jack, they call me Jack, ma'am.
And what a fine, fat boy you are, Jack.
You don't really mean to eat me, do you, ma'am?
Oh, indeed I do!
Yes, ma'am, that would be a shame because someone as fair and lovely as yourself, Miss Meg, deserves far better than scrawny me. Don't you think?
Yeah. Think. Be fair. Do you, Jack?
All the heavenly angels must envy your beauty.
Ah! clear your best. Be the rest of you as sweet as your tongue.
Wait! No! Please, so with loveliness. Feast on the beauty of your reflection. You are an angel, Miss Meg. Look. Look.
What a splendid idea.
She lifts up his shield, then he slices off her head with his sword. She drops back into the water and Jack looks down at the sword with amazement.
I did it!
The great tree, with ancient castle ruins around its gargantuan trunk, ebony black, illuminated by flashes of lightning. Its dark branches reach up into the night. Somewhere deep inside the fortress, in a crumbling dungeon, the mayor is in chains while a fire burns. A figure in a billowing and tattered black cloak brandishes the alicorn. Lily trembles, her face drenched with sweat as she takes in her surroundings. Above the fire is a statue of a demonic winged figure, and the mayor paces fearfully. Jack and the others are at an entrance into the tree, a steep, snowy slope. They slide down, landing on a ledge beneath a giant horn that's wrapped round one of the roots.
Okay, okay. Oh, three rocks. Oh, what a big trumpet. I'll bet it makes a lot of noise.
Our lives are lost if it blows.
Gum fires an arrow into the chasm below. As Gump peers down into the darkness, Screwball reaches for a bone-like vine and tugs on it. The ledge moves.
I think it's trapped.
The stone ledge tilts down and they're sent at speed down a spiraling channel. Jack's golden shield speeds out of the tunnel first as they land in a cloud of dust in a gloomy cell.
Me aching back! Oh, I'm not as old as I used to be, you know.
All around them are ancient skeletons.
Hey, where are we?
Some place we don't want to be.
It made Mother's hand. Hey, wait for me! We gotta get out of here. It's the stench of Alexander.
Hey, Ed. You'll be fricasseed, fairies, if you don't keep quiet.
Who be you, Buckethead?
Who I am won't help me, nor you neither, even though we are all brothers.
Lunder takes off his helmet.
What happened to you?
It's a long story. Let's just say I went looking for adventure and found more than I could handle. Doesn't matter now anyway. We are all in the same fix.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I should have stayed at home.
Let's face it, brothers. Me and you all is barbecue.
Barbecue?
The dungeon cells are part of a hellish kitchen where enormous ogres with pointed ears and leather masks stoke fires and baste their victims. Lunder looks out through the bars to see an ogre approaching.
Oh no! He's coming!
The ogre sniffs as inside the cell, Jack and the others hurry to hide themselves. Jack grabs Brown Tom and throws him to the ground while the others are covering themselves in straw. The ogre opens the door of Blunder's cell and goes to the bars that look into the one where Jack and the others are hiding. Screwball holds Tom's nose to stop him from sneezing. The ogre finds Blunder and lifts him up, carrying him kicking and screaming out of the cell under his arm. All the while, Gump's holding Una in his hands and is whispering to her.
Help me! Please, help me!
The ogre carries Blunder out towards the fire, and Screwball looks up from the straw.
We've got to help him.
Oh, don't worry. Our brother can take care of himself, I'm sure. I think.
Screwball's right. It's more important that you find the unicorn.
And I'm going to fly out and find a key.
Una, but she's much too small. Could never lift it. Our secret!
Our secret will keep forever in this grave if you don't help us.
You promised!
Shh! You willful sprite. How dare you keep such secrets?
They're mine to keep.
In her fairy form, she turns to Jack.
I'll do what you ask. If you'll kiss me, Jack.
Bubbles float around her as Jack studies her glittering face. He glances over at the others.
Easy enough.
Looking unsure, he leans in and gives her a peck on the cheek.
Call that a kiss. Am I not sweet?
Sweeter than bee pollen on a summer wind.
Sweet is the wind
that blows me to you.
She appears as Lily.
It's very magic.
Lily?
He reaches for her face and she closes her eyes.
This isn't real.
Oh, it is. I'm warm and alive. I want to be in your arms.
Jack frowns a little as he studies her, and he moves in close once more. Gump and the others are huddled tightly together. Jack closes his eyes as he nears Lily's face, but before his lips touch hers, he pulls away.
No, I can't. No, this is just more fairy glamour. Human hearts don't work that way.
What care I for human hearts, soft and spiritless as porridge? A fairy's heart beats fierce and free!
She changes into a spark of light and flies out between the bars of the cell.
Una?
Your fine sensibilities have left us here to rot.
I'm behind you all the way, Gump.
Una returns with the keys.
You look like mourners at your own funeral. Una!
Gump clicks his fingers and Una unlocks the door.
Quicker!
They hurry past other barred cells and blasts of steam.
There's a sight for a sober man to...
Gump has his bow at the ready as they run on, and in a quieter nook they come to a halt.
Here, thank you very much.
That's how fast. You search with the rest of us.
Then I'll go with Jack.
No, we split up.
Yes, it's better if we go in teams.
I'll go with you.
Gump and me, Bruntown and Screwball.
Right. Take care. Come on, Jack.
Jack turns back to them.
Be careful.
There's only one thing I want to know.
Why me?
I think we should go west. I think we should go east.
Father, I hold the world in my grasp, and yet this girl distracts me. It has been an eternity since I felt such desire. What am I to do?
She fascinates you because her soul is pure. To make her one of us, charm her, woo her, change. change her spirit. Hypnotize her. Set her free. Bring her to you.
Lily runs through a wall of fire, then along a sewer-like tunnel.
Did you see something?
No, did you?
I don't know. I think.
Lily has run straight past them, and now the doors to the tunnel close before they can follow her. Lily is running through a vast, gloomy hall of towering, yet bulbous black columns, each intricately carved and peppered with sparkles. Una is a little way behind her and watches as Lily races on along the seemingly endless aisles of black columns set out like colossal chess pieces. A ragged gown, now a greyish colour, is flowing out behind her. A pair of doors slam shut and Lily runs on. Una approaches the doors, which are guarded on each side by grotesque figures carved out of stone. Lily stops and leans against a column as she discovers a blazing fire in the distance.
You should see your princess now.
Una is peering through the gap in the doors. Looking petrified, Lily turns. She turns her back to the monstrous blazing hearth and notices the statue of a cherub sitting with its arms folded on an enormous banquet table. Something across the immense and dark chamber catches her attention, a dressing table laden with brightly shining trinkets. Lily tilts her head a little and seems woozy before smiling wickedly to herself. As she makes her way across the room, she seems unaware that the cherub has come to life. It unfolds its arms and watches her as she nears the dressing table. The dresser itself has a black drape over it, on top of which is a collection of shining jugs, goblets, and containers of pearls. But in front of all of these treasures is a silver box with a lid shaped like the roof of a house. Lily lifts the lid and her face is bathed in light. The cherub looks round once more. Now she's lifting up a necklace heavy with jewels. She gazes at it and smiles, holding it against her neck as she admires her reflection in the mirror. The cherub starts to get to its feet. Suddenly, something in the mirror makes Lily's smile fade, and she turns to see a figure in an elaborate black gown dancing towards her. The creature before her has a body of glittering black and a featureless face. The jet black gown has a tall, stiff collar that rises high up behind the figure's head. Sheer, wing-like panels flow down from each shoulder, and long black gloves cover the dancer's hands and arms. The fabric from the long skirts reaches up to the gloves, and all of it is decorated with glittering flourishes that sparkle as the light from the enormous fire hits them. Across the bodice is a plump sash covered with glittering silver sequins. The figure expertly spins and twirls, reaching up to Lily, who seems horrified by the presence. The dancer waves a hand before Lily's face, and she seems hypnotized. Unable to resist the dance, she whirls across the floor with the animated gown. They spin swiftly as they rush past the enormous black banqueting table, where numerous ebony candles melt wax that hangs like icicles from two giant candelabra. Lost in the dance, Lily lets the figure spin her round, then they waltz together in wide circles, leaning together from one side to the other as they go. When they reach the gaping hearth, Lily lets go and dances feverishly on her own, turning to beckon the glittering figure towards her. Now Lily is wearing the dress, her ivory skin revealed through the neckline that dips down past her belly button. Spinning in front of a mirror, she lifts her head to study her reflection, her hair now curled in solid, shining spirals, and her lips jet black. Her eyes widen as a monstrous red hand with long black talons emerges from the mirror. A tangle of beads and chains decorate each of the creature's wrists, and Lily takes a step back with fear. A cloven hoof steps through, then a broad red chest appears, followed by a pointed chin, snarling fangs and arched eye sockets. Lily drops to the floor in a faint, and Darkness steps closer to her, his colossal black horns reaching high above his head. As he crouches down and reaches out for her, his long black cloak billows out behind him. He leans in closer, widening his snake-like eyes. Lily wakes, looking horrified, scurries backwards away from him.
Quiet. I like you, my gifts. Does the gun not please you?
No.
Can you speak so of your bridal gown? I've found my true mate. And you know it.
Never.
Beneath the skin, we are already one. Was it not your sin trapped the unicorn? Even now, the evil seed of what you've done germinates within you.
No. You lie. You disgust me. You're nothing but an animal.
We are all animals, my lady.
Jack, Gump and Una arrive at the doors. As Darkness lifts his muscular arms, Jack peers through the gap in the doors.
Lily!
Jack, there's nothing you can do now to help her. Be thankful she still lives. You've got to help us, Jack.
The last unicorn dies tonight. As her blood ebbs, the sun sets forever. There shall never be another dawn.
No!
Lady, I require the solace of the shadows and the dark of the night. Sunshine is my destroyer.
As long as the sun still shines, we can destroy him.
Elsewhere in the tree, Tom rushes back to grab Screwball.
Mom, now listen to me. We're not going down the same corridor umpteen times.
I think we should go that way.
No, we're going this way. Now just follow me.
They run on.
Let's go down there. Stay close to me now.
As they walk along, a series of vents open, sending bursts of steam over them. They both drop to the ground.
You know what? What? I vote we run like hell. I suck at the motion. Screwball!
He's clutching Jack's knee.
Where were you? In another three flicks of a badger's tail, we would have gone.
Well, while you're having fun, time.
time goes by fast.
Well, we found the mare. And it's alive in the dungeon.
Excellent, excellent, you two.
Thank you very much.
Now, Jack has a plan, and a good one.
We must gather every shining object we can find. We're going to bring light to darkness.
In the kitchen, one of the ogres is fast asleep, with his hand resting on a huge chunk of cheese. Jack and the others tiptoe through the kitchen, where giant pies have been recently created, and rats scurry through the produce. Jack reaches out to a skull on a platter and it seems to burn his hand. The ogre turns in its sleep.
Thunder!
The sound is coming from inside one of the pies, and Jack uses a curved knife to cut around the pastry lid. When they lift it, Blunder pops up and birds fly out. He has an apple stuck in his mouth and his hands are tied.
Any more noise and you're shish kebab. You do what we say, understand? Swear it.
I swear it on the festering forelock of Nicodemus. Please, help. Help me.
Jack lifts him out.
Thank you.
Along the walls of the dungeon-like kitchen are dozens of gigantic metal plates. Gump rides up past the shelves on a large cage while Jack climbs a ladder that Blunder holds still. Gump throws a plate down to Tom and Jack drops another down to Blunder as they start to collect the shiny dishes. Screwball and Tom each have a large pile, catching more and more of the dishes as they're thrown down from above. Jack drops down another, and Tom tosses it to Screwball like a flying disc. All around them, fires burn.
Hurry, kid. Come on.
One of the ogres is asleep, sitting up between Tom and Screwball. The dishes fly faster and faster, and eventually one knocks Screwball over, sending him flying into his teetering pile. Tom covers his ears and one of the ogres wakes up. The second ogre wakes as the first is hit in the face with a dish. Jack somersaults down from the high shelf as one of the ogres swings a huge axe. Blunder ducks out of the way as the axe lands in a barrel, sending liquid spurting out. Jack jabs the ogre with a fork, making him turn, and has to drop down to avoid the axe blade. Gump readies his bow and Jack shoves backwards into the second ogre. Confused, the ogre hits the other one with a shovel. Standing on the table, Jack jumps out of the way of the ogre's swinging axe. He moves back and forth swiftly, then punches the ogre in the face through the leather mask. Somersaulting off the table, Jack grabs a handle that tips out a huge cauldron of bubbling soup. While one of the ogres is thrown back by the burst of steam, the other is hit hard on the head. Jack races across the kitchen and shelters from the steam, which fills the room in a swishing torrent. When the steam slowly subsides, the ogres have fallen. Jack looks out from his hiding place. He smiles with relief.
Three cheers for our champion!
Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray!
J- Jack grabs one of the metal dishes and walks into the fireplace, which is now cooled. He reaches out a hand as sunlight bathes it, then he steps completely into the bright glow. Gump stands beside him and Screwball frowns.
Now what, Jack?
Must go all the way out. Light.
Not much to hold on to. Take a Peapod Pixie to make that climb.
Screwball looks thoughtful.
How'd you reach it? What's the matter? Ain't I small enough for the job? Please come. Let me try. I won't touch you down.
All right, do it. But be swift.
Thank you. You'll never regret it.
I always knew you'd be gone past your school bar.
Jack readies one of the dishes.
All I wish is for you to sit and talk with me.
Sit.
A gruesome throne.
Yes.
I prefer to stand.
Silence!
He steadies himself.
Or stand. As you wish. It is enough that we are alone together. Just the two of us.
He smiles.
Some simple conversation.
I have nothing to talk about. You've stolen my dreams away.
All things change, lady. The dreams of youth are the regrets of maturity. Dreams are my speciality. Through dreams, I influence mankind. My dream is of eternity with you. I offer you this rose, princess. My heart, my soul, my love.
Love?
The sun is heading very slowly for the horizon.
A little to the right. Left. Good.
Sit. I value your thoughts. Share them with me.
Gump and Tom run through a tunnel with some dishes. Lily turns.
Sit.
Sit.
Nothing more than that.
And talk with me.
She's about to sit down while parts of the throne move, clench and throb.
I think I'll stand if you don't mind.
Got you!
He snarls, turning his great horns to one side as he strides menacingly towards her. She laughs and twirls away from the throne. In the dungeon, the unicorn mare rears up.
I hear a throat begging to be cut.
Are you so anxious to see blood flow?
As you are to drink it. Grant your bride one wish on this night.
You have but to ask.
I will stay here with you as you wish. But on one condition.
Anything.
I want to kill the unicorn.
Her words wash over him like a wave of pleasure, and he opens his mouth to laugh. The sun has sunk deeper in the sky.
In the beginning, there was nothing. A void of darkness. A cold eternity of silence.
Jack, your greatest challenge is still to come. And we have not much time.
Screwball has reached the top of the chimney stack with the dish.
When the perfect void was corrupted by light, a great wailing was heard, and all the brethren fled in terror.
Go!
Una, fly up like the wind! It's time!
Una flies away. Doors into the dungeon are closing, blocking the last dish. Jack runs through, followed by Gump, but blunders too late and is left behind. Jack and Gump clamber up a slope of bones and rocks, while Una flies on through the tree's endless tunnels. All around Jack and Gump are broken skulls, rusting armor, weapons, arrows and chains as they stare down into the dungeon where Lily's standing between the mayor and a figure brandishing the alicorn. Jack drops down breathlessly.
Lily! Jack, judge her with your heart, not your eyes.
Powers of the night, we offer this sacrifice in honor of you. Sanctify with blood and with fire.
As the mayor pulls on its chains, both Gump and Jack ready an arrow in their bows.
I pray you, Father, accept my sacrifice. Let light be forever extinguished. Let the age of darkness begin. Come, lady. The birth of a new world awaits your stroke.
Let my offering be made of flesh and blood.
She means to do it, Jack. She's one of them.
I am sister to the Fates.
Kill her. Forget her. Think about the unicorn. Do it. I'll do it.
No. No.
Lily lifts a sword.
I trust you.
She uses the sword to cut through the mayor's chains, and Jack's arrow lands in Darkness's neck. Darkness hits Lily, and Jack swings down to him on a chain. Darkness shoves him away like a rag doll. Darkness shoots fire from his fingers. Una flies up through the chimney and Gump fires an arrow, but Darkness is charging at Jack like an angry bull. Darkness has arrows sticking out of his neck.
What are we here? A little boy.
Jack punches Darkness, who sends a jet of fire at him. Next, he knocks Jack backwards and grabs a sword. Jack ducks out of the way and grabs a shield, which Darkness batters with the sword blade. Una emerges from the chimney to find Screwball asleep.
Screwball, wake up!
Darkness swings the sword at Jack, knocking away the shield. Jack leaps away from another swipe, then somersaults backwards. Darkness creates a burst of fire, while Una's shaking Screwball. Jack uses a staff to kick Darkness away with both legs, then fires a sword. He swings at Darkness, then tumbles away from his blows. Sparks fly as Darkness brings his sword down over and over again. Una struggles to lift the metal dish and Screwball is still snoring. Darkness grabs Jack's face.
Don't you know me, boy?
Darkness lifts Jack up by his head and throws him across the dungeon. Jack spots the alicorn about to slip into a hole where orange liquid is aflame. He glances at Darkness, then tries to reach for it. Darkness stops him with the sword, and up on the chimney, Screwball wakes up.
What time is it?
Every wolf suffers fleas. 'Tis easy enough to scratch.
The alicorn has slipped into the flaming liquid, and Jack sinks his hand in to retrieve it. Sunlight hits the dish at the top of the chimney.
Give it to me, boy.
Jack throws the alicorn and it lands in Darkness's red belly, while a huge shaft of bright light shoots from one dish to another. The doors into the dungeon are thrown off their hinges. Darkness is thrown backwards, and he uses the talons on one hand and the alicorn in the other to stop him from slipping any further away. Jack picks up a sword and walks slowly towards Darkness. Jack uses the sword to hit the alicorn from Darkness's hand, making him slip into the void beyond. The raging wind whipping around them subsides.
She's under a spell. A powerful spell.
Do something.
Only you can answer this riddle.
I'm a princess. It's my right to set a challenge for my suitors.
Now fulfill your promise.
I will miss you.
But don't forget us.
Never.
Jack dives towards the lagoon from the high ledge and twists as he hits the water. He swims down to the mossy bed where reeds tremble in the current. Resting his hands against the velvety green of the rocks, he pulls himself further down. Below him is a craggy bed of granite-like rock. The surface of the lagoon bubbles and froths. Suddenly, Jack shoots up out of the water and lifts a clenched fist. He disappears momentarily beneath the surface, then emerges once more and opens his fist to reveal Lily's ring in his palm. Lily is lying unconscious on the forest floor, and Jack slowly slips the ring onto her finger and holds her hand. Gone are the jet-black lips, and her skin is sparkling once more. She's dressed in a white gown, and her hair is flowing freely. He leans down and kisses her, his nose gently brushing hers. Still soaking wet from the dive, he lifts slowly away from her and watches her closely, a worried expression flooding his face. After a few moments, her lips start to move. He smiles happily as he gazes down at her. Lily wakes to see the sunshine through the branches. Then she looks at Jack. She places a gentle hand against his cheek and spots the ring.
We're safe now.
He pulls her to him and they kiss tenderly. Next, they're walking in a peaceful glade while birds flutter through the trees. Lily races off and Jack chases her playfully. Gump runs to the top of a rocky ridge to watch them run towards the sunset. He lifts the horn he's carrying and blows it as both of the unicorns gallop up behind him. Jack and Lily turn to wave as Screwball, Brown Tom, Blunder and Una all appear. Jack takes Lily's hand and they run on. We are the